Chapter 38. This was small comfort to us. However, we had no remedy. There was on our left hand, at about a quarter of a mile distance, a little grove, and very near the road. I immediately resolved we should advance to those trees, and fortify ourselves as well as we could there. For, first, I considered that the trees would in a great measure cover us from their arrows, and, in the next place, they could not come to charge us in a body. It was, indeed, my old Portuguese pilot who proposed it, and who with his excellency attending him, that he was always readiest, and most apt to direct and encourage us in cases of the most danger. We advanced immediately, with what speed we could, and gained that little wood. The Tartars, or thieves, for we knew not what to call them, keeping their stand, and not attempting to hinder us. When we came thither, we found, to our great satisfaction, that it was a swampy piece of ground, and on the one side a very great spring of water, which, running out in a little brook, was a little farther joined by another of the like size, and was, in short, the source of a considerable river, called afterwards the Wurzka. The trees which grew about this spring were not above 200, but very large, and stood pretty thick, so that as soon as we got in, we saw ourselves perfectly safe from the enemy, unless they attacked us on foot. While we stayed here waiting the motion of the enemy some hours, without perceiving that they made any movement, our Portuguese, with some help, cut several arms of trees half off, and laid them hanging across from one tree to another, and in a manner fenced us inches about 2 hours before night they came down directly upon us, and though we had not perceived it, we found they had been joined by some more, so that they were near fourscore horse, whereof, however, we fancied some were women. They came until they were within half shot of our little wood, when we fired one musket without ball, and called to them in the Russian tongue, to know what they wanted, and bade them keep off. But they came on with a double fury up to the woodside, not imagining we were so barricaded, that they could not easily break in. Our old pilot was our captain as well as our engineer, and desired us not to fire upon them till they came within pistol shot, that we might be sure to kill, and that when we did fire we should be sure to take good aim. We bade him give the word of command, which he delayed so long, that they were some of them within 2 pikes length of us when we let fly. We aimed so true, that we killed 14 of them, and wounded several others, as also several of their horses, for we had all of us loaded our pieces with 2 or 3 bullets apiece at least. They were terribly surprised with our fire, and retreated immediately about 100 rods from us, in which time we loaded our pieces again, and seeing them keep that distance, we sallied out, and caught 4 or 5 of their horses, whose riders we supposed were killed, and coming up to the dead, we judged they were Tartars, but knew not how they came to make an excursion such an unusual length. About an hour after they again made a motion to attack us, and rode round our little wood, to see where they might break in, but finding us always ready to face them, they went off again, and we resolved not to stir for that night. We slept little, but spent the most part of the night in strengthening our situation, and barricading the entrances into the wood, and keeping a strict watch. We waited for daylight, and when it came, it gave us a very unwelcome discovery indeed. For the enemy, who we thought were discouraged with the reception they met with, were now greatly increased, and had set up 11 or 12 huts or tents, as if they were resolved to besiege us. And this little camp they had pitched upon the open plain, about 3/4 of a mile from us. I confess I now gave myself over for lost, and all that I had. The loss of my effects did not lie so near me, though very considerable, as the thoughts of falling into the hands of such barbarians at the latter end of my journey, after so many difficulties and hazards as I had gone through, and even in sight of our port, where we expected safety and deliverance. As to my partner, he was raging, and declared that to lose his goods would be his ruin, and that he would rather die than be starved, and he was for fighting to the last drop. The young lord, a most gallant youth, was for fighting to the last also, and my old pilot was of opinion that we were able to resist them all in the situation we were then in. Thus we spent the day in debates of what we should do, but towards evening we found that the number of our enemies still increased, and we did not know, but by the morning they might still be a greater number. So I began to inquire of those people we had brought from Tobolsky if there were no private ways by which we might avoid them in the night, and perhaps retreat to some town, or get help to guard us over the desert. The young Lord Siberian servant told us, if we designed to avoid them, and not fight, he would engage to carry us off in the night, to a way that went north, towards the river Petras, by which he made no question but we might get away, and the Tartars never discover it. But, he said, his lord had told him he would not retreat, but would rather choose to fight. I told him he mistook his lord, for that he was too wise a man to love fighting for the sake of it, that I knew he was brave enough by what he had showed already, but that he knew better than to desire 17 or 18 men to fight 500, unless an unavoidable necessity forced them to it, and that if he thought it possible for us to escape in the night, we had nothing else to do but to attempt it. He answered, if his lordship gave him such orders, he would lose his life if he did not perform it. We soon brought his lord to give that order, though privately, and we immediately prepared for putting it in practice. And first, as soon as it began to be dark, we kindled a fire in our little camp, which we kept burning, and prepared so as to make it burn all night, that the Tartars might conclude we were still there. But as soon as it was dark, and we could see the stars, for our guide would not stir before, having all our horses and camels ready loaded, we followed our new guide, who I soon found steered himself by the North Star, the country being level for a long way. After we had traveled 2 hours very hard, it began to be lighter still. Not that it was dark all night, but the moon began to rise, so that, in short, it was rather lighter than we wished it to be. But by 6 o'clock the next morning we had got above 30 miles, having almost spoiled our horses. Here we found a Russian village, named Kermazinskoy, where we rested, and heard nothing of the Kalmyk Tartars that day. About 2 hours before night we set out again, and traveled till late the next morning, though not quite so hard as before, and about 7 o'clock we passed a little river, called Kurtsa, and came to a good large town inhabited by Russians, called Ozomys. There we heard that several troops of Kalmyks had been abroad upon the desert, but that we were now completely out of danger of them, which was to our great satisfaction. Here we were obliged to get some fresh horses, and having need enough of rest, we stayed 5 days, and my partner and I agreed to give the honest Siberian who conducted us thither the value of 10 pistoles. In 5 days more we came to Vysyma, upon the river Wysagda, and running into the Dwina. We were there, very happily, near the end of our travels by land, that river being navigable, in 7 days' passage, to Archangel. From hence we came to Laremskoy, the 3rd of July, and providing ourselves with 2 luggage boats, and a barge for our own convenience, we embarked the 7th, and arrived all safe at Archangel the 18th, having been 1 year, 5 months, and 3 days on the journey, including our stay of about 8 months at Tobolsky. We were obliged to stay at this place 6 weeks for the arrival of the ships, and must have tarried longer, had not a Hamburger come in above a month sooner than any of the English ships, when, after some consideration, that the city of Hamburg might happen to be as good a market for our goods as London, we all took freight with him, and, having put our goods on board, it was most natural for me to put my steward on board, to take care of them. By which means my young lord had a sufficient opportunity to conceal himself, never coming on shore again all the time we stayed there, and this he did, that he might not be seen in the city, where some of the Moscow merchants would certainly have seen and discovered him. We then set sail from Archangel the 20th of August, the same year, and, after no extraordinary bad voyage, arrived safe in Yale the 18th of September. Here my partner and I found a very good sale for our goods, as well those of China as the sables and sea of Siberia. And, dividing the produce, my share amounted to £34.75, 17.3d including about £600 worth of diamonds, which I purchased at Bengal. Here the young lord took his leave of us, and went up the Elbe, in order to go to the court of Vienna, where he resolved to seek protection, and could correspond with those of his father's friends who were left alive. He did not part without testimonials of gratitude for the service I had done him, and for my kindness to the prince, his father. To conclude, having stayed near 4 months in Hamburg, I came from thence by land to The Hague, where I embarked in the packet, and arrived in London the 10th of January 1705, having been absent from England 10 years and 9 months. And here, resolving to harass myself no more, I am preparing for a longer journey than all these, having lived 72 years a life of infinite variety, and learned sufficiently to know the value of retirement, and the blessing of ending our days in peace. End of the Project Gutenberg text of Further Adventures of Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe. RBCR2 by Gutenberg Edition.